flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Recording in progress.
Okay, any discussion on minutes from last meeting? Make a motion.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from the last meeting.
Second.
Radio. Bluetooth.
Motion has been made and seconded to accept the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. I'm going to sign these and pass them back. Okay. First thing we need to do is to elect our officers for the year. If we don't have any discussion or nominations.
I move Gary Hewitt to be president.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Motion made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, that's done. We have, the council is hiring legal counsel. And we have our,
pardon?
Vice president.
Vice president. Oh, yeah, we got to do that one too.
Vice president.
And I'll take a motion for vice president.
Make one.
Everybody wants to
do
it. You, make a motion.
Why me?
Why not? Nobody else is going to say anything.
I'll give him a little time.
I'll nominate Dave Redding.
Okay, nomination.
I nominate Judy Swift.
There we go.
Good one, Dave.
No seconds. We'll keep going until we get a second. Okay, what about you, Scott? Let's say if we nominate you, where does that go?
If Dave's not interested, I would do it.
Judy, are you interested?
Huh? I prefer not.
So there's a nomination for Scott. Any seconds for that?
I'll second Scott.
We'll second that.
Okay, we got a second. All in favor for Scott? Aye.
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 We get four on that? Okay. Now we can get our attorney. Thanks, Jim. Susan Beavers is, we decided to have her as our counsel for the county council, not just for the county, but for just us at this point. And we've interviewed her a couple of her last meeting, and I sent you all the contract that she put together for us, and we've looked at that, gone back and forth once, just got clarification. So if there are any questions, we'd like to discuss it now. Otherwise, we'll take it to a vote.
Do we have the contract?
I have a contract to be signed. We sent those to you a couple weeks ago, and we...
Right, but I didn't commit it to memory, so I'm not able to recite the whole document. I forgot that I spaced it and didn't bring it in.
Do you want to look at it?
Pardon me?
To look at it?
Can you hand it down to me for a little quick?
Sure.
Yeah. This is not... There was an email, I believe, that you sent out to Susan. Susan responded on it.
Yes, and I responded to you all with a question. It was a question...
Yeah. It's a six-month agreement.
Yes. I have it set up as a six-month agreement. I mean, this is well within your statute to hire your own counsel. It's completely at your purview. If you're not happy with me after 3 months...
Yeah, so it's a unilateral contract in that we can terminate it. You can terminate it without cause.
Absolutely.
We can terminate it without cause.
Yes.
Yeah, my only concern with it, and I wasn't just for clarity, was that, you know, I didn't want us to find not that we would, but by chance, if we found ourselves in a situation in which we needed to go out and find someone that is a specific skill set or discipline that you didn't have, that we wouldn't be required to have to pay you billable hours and then turn right around and pay somebody else billable hours as well.
Right, that's completely up to you with how you all want to do that. I mean, typically, my experience has been that if I serve as local counsel for something, I continue to serve as that. If I need specialized counsel, if we double up on some things, we may double up on some things, but that would be something I would address with you before we would do that, so that you're not getting two bills for the same thing. If I'm needed to be there in addition to whatever specialized counsel I may need, that's a different issue than just me showing up.
And I'm okay with that, but I just would preserve the right as a council body to have the discretionary authority to make the decisions on what we're going to do, rather than defer to council, and then you get council out here.
Yeah, no, all of that would come before the council.
Right, okay. So void of that, we can terminate it, both of us, unilaterally, without cost. Okay.
Any reason for a 6-month contract and not a year?
No, I...
It's our choice. We just decided to do it that way. You offered either way.
And then automatically extends.
Yeah, we'll just take care of it. She may not like us.
That's possible.
Now, let me go yourself there, Gary.
That's right. Okay.
I already decided she can't leave.
Any other questions? Take a nominate or a motion to hire Susan Beavers as our attorney.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion approved. We need to sign this last page.
Please.
Okay. Somebody got the minutes coming back this way or
there?
I missed them. Okay. Perlita, do you want to go first with your concern?
That's what you wish.
Is that microphone active?
You can talk about it if you can hear me.
Tap it again. Yep.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we do.
As some of you may or may not know, I have an employee who has been out for an extensive amount of time with some health issues. So I am requesting this evening to access the attrition fund to hire temporary help. As you all know, this is a presidential election year, and my chief deputy has been picking up the slack of my absent employee, but she's starting to drown. So I need to bring in somebody temporary to fill this spot until my employee returns, if he returns at all. And this would be a temporary employee with no benefits.
Any estimate as to time, cost? I know it's hard to say.
It's hard to say. I mean, he could possibly return to work within a couple of weeks full time. It could be that his doctors will tell him that he can only come back intermittently. I can tell you that once he is released, that he will have ongoing physical therapy until the end of April, and that physical therapy is 3 days a week. So during those 3 days a week, I'll have to have that temporary help in then also.
So that's through April at least?
At a minimum.
Okay. Any questions?
Just say that. Which fund are you referencing?
The attrition fund.
Got some, Jim? We want to take a motion to fund Perlita for the from the attrition fund.
Just quick question. I mean, how much are we talking about in payroll?
I can't give you a definitive.
Is this person $20 an hour, $15 an hour, $15 an hour?
They would be come in at the base rate for a grade level 8, because that's what my clerks are, is an 8. So it would be a base pay of 8 with no benefits.
Can we do full-time, part-time?
So we're $17.31 an hour.
Correct.
And is this person going to work 40 hours a week?
In the beginning, I would anticipate yes, because this employee has not been in the office at all for the last 8.5 weeks now.
Okay. And I'm just curious, what kind of training are you going to have to provide this person you're talking about bringing in?
In-house training. It would have to be in-house training. So my chief deputy and my other clerks would get this person up to speed. The one thing that they would not do is have anything to do with child support, because right. In order to handle child support, you have to go through an FBI background check, you have to have fingerprints. It gets into costing my budget more money, so we're going to forego that, and we're just going to have them work on the criminal filings and the criminal cases. Being
no, I understand. Here, I just want to have an idea.
I have to have Jessica doing election stuff, and last week we were all drowning.
Okay. And on the end of my 50, so that's 40 hours, so you get 17. Basically, 36 grand a year. I want to look at it on a monthly basis. Hey, Julie, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
This person's not going to have any employee benefits, so we're not going to have to pay PERF on this person.
No.
So the only thing we'll have to do you pay is FICA, the 7.65 on top.
Yeah.
We'll have to pay that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so basically we take 17.31.
35,000 a year.
31 times 1. $745.37 a week. Let's say they were 16 weeks. Would that be fair?
That'd be a fair guesstimate.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that whoever this person is, that if on the off chance my employee doesn't return to work, this person will be brought up to enough speed that I could, if I need to, in that person's absence, offer him a full-time position, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, so we're only talking about 12 grand. We've got 150, I think, is what we allocated in our budget for that. That's what we're referring to, correct?
12 yes. grand for how long?
Well, that 12 grand would cover 16 weeks.
Okay.
4 months.
Okay.
So.
Anything else?
Currently, do they know going in that they're temporary?
They will. I haven't approached anybody yet. I have a few people in mind, but until I got the okay, I didn't even want to put it out there.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we want to take a motion to approve Perlita using the attrition fund? And come back to us as it gets near March or so, see what the status is.
I'll keep you updated as I get updates from my employee who's off.
Okay.
And that will give us all some kind of idea as to how long this might take.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we approve this with conditionally that you come back in every 6 weeks to give us an update. So in other words, we fund it for 6, fund it again for another 6 weeks, so we don't make it open-ended.
6 weeks or 8 weeks?
Pick one.
Pick one.
Well, we don't have meetings every 6 weeks.
Okay, so 8 weeks.
Yeah, 8 weeks.
So it's got to be back in March.
I don't think the money is the issue. Judy, help me. I think we've got like this generic job description category where you hire seasonal and temporary help. I think we need to give her a waiver on that to either approve a second position profile of the individual that's out. Otherwise, we're compromising the people that come in through a temporary or seasonal rate.
Isn't that what, $9 an hour?
Yeah, significantly lower. So I think that's the issue. What job description are we going to authorize that this additional headcount comes in on for an indefinite period of time? I think that's what we need to do. But the money is important, but not near what we're going to be talking about now.
Right.
Yeah, these are good points. We need to decide how we're going to utilize
it. Correct? Mm-hmm. Right, you don't have a job description in the salary grade to cover this person other than through the temporary seasonal
Not for
ones.
Temporary person, but he would whoever she brings in would pretty much take over the job description of the deputy that she already has.
That's not right, yes?
Yeah.
Minus what she talked about.
Minus the benefits.
Is there the need to do this?
Minus
the child. Same hourly rate, a grade level 8.
It'd be minus the child.
But you understand what my point is if you guys get audited and you say, where's this paycheck going in this person's houses? They're not in the salary grade.
Right.
And you're paying them something different than the mechanism that we normally use for temporary.
So we could get a hold of, Minor Shealy and her one and take care of that pretty quickly.
And why do we need to fund it with extra money instead of money that's already allocated to that job position?
Okay. Ask that again.
Why
the actual person is still getting his pay.
Okay.
Until he runs out of time.
Yes. Okay. Until he runs out of time.
Correct. Okay. So we can't pay this person out of my employee's fund line because that person is still accessing that pay line of themselves.
Okay.
Correct.
So that's why I asked to access the fund that was created for this kind of condition.
Okay. That's what I was asking just for.
So would it work for you if we made a motion to authorize an additional job description equivalent to the one that she's talking about, but less benefits?
Yes, I can do that.
And that would make your office clean from an audit perspective.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Good point.
And then when she runs out of money, we can appropriate whatever, wherever, from wherever.
Right. Change it if we need to.
Okay. So my understanding, walking away from here, Julie is going to handle getting the job description minus the benefits. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check back in with you folks every 8 weeks to keep you updated on what's going on.
Yes. Or sooner if you run into problems.
Yeah.
I would suggest.
Make a motion on that.
So do you guys like that idea?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
That's a valid point.
Scott, go ahead.
You know what? Instead of updating, Jim, if we think it'll take 14 weeks or whatever it is. Maybe we allow her, you know, I don't know if we put in the motion, hey, up to 14 weeks or until such time that, you know, the employee comes back full time. I hate to just dissect it into 2-3 decisions here. Why don't we have her update us by email? You know, we're just kind of tripping her up here. And this is the reason I think it's important is because we've got a presidential election going on. Last thing we want to do is
don't want it open-ended.
Right.
That was my whole point.
Just up to a certain
amount.
If
it's out of sight, out of mind, because you know that's going to depend on us remembering that we did this.
I think she would take care of it before it became.
Well, I'll be living it every day with a temporary employee in my office.
No, I know.
So it's not going to be out of sight, out of mind for me. So I will make myself.
I'm not talking about you. This is about the council, not about you.
So. Yeah, that's why I think we just do up to an amount. If it's 14 weeks or whatever it is, and you know.
Okay, so you make a motion up to 12 grand, and then come back and
yeah.
Is that good?
I'm good with that.
Hey, whatever you all want.
Somebody make a motion.
Is that your motion, Jim? Or
do you want to make my motion?
Yeah, because you get it.
So how do you identify the job description for this individual that's out on medical leave? I motion that we create a second instance of that where it clearly says that it's temporary and does not pay benefits. And then that would be the job description we would vote on tonight that allows Perlita to bring the person in.
Up to $12,000.
Do we have to sign a pay grade?
It's an A.
I didn't know if we had to vote on the pay grade for this new job description.
I second your motion.
Okay, thank you, Joel.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Aye. Passed.
Okay. Thank you, Perlita.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Next thing we're going to do, we've got a lot of people here. Got all these board appointments. Hopefully we can free up some seats if we approve these appointments. So we're going to start with that. I've got a list here. I may miss, may not be comprehensive, but we'll just... Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this one is for the reappointment to the Convention and Visitors Commission. Oh, that's, we're going to wait till next, we're going to wait till next month for that one. How many did you receive?
First three.
Okay. All right. Regional Sewer District. We've got Richard Hall. Richard? Just want to keep this brief. You're on the board already, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to prove you. Anybody had any problems with that? Any questions? Otherwise, we're going to nominate both. There is a second. We got it.
And I asked Richard to.
I know. But then there's another one.
We vote to fill the position with everybody here, giving everybody his
vote. Okay, we only vote for each.
Yeah, I was appointed by the council 4 years ago. I've served as secretary on the board during that time. I am a lawyer by trade and do provide some legal advice gratis to the board, and have enjoyed the experience.
Great.
We're in the process of working on some big projects, and I'd like to be there for implementing those projects.
All right. We have to vote on all participants wanting to be on the board, and there is another one here, and that is John Kennard. You still here, John?
Oh, yes, sir. And I'm waiting.
Are there two copies of the, yeah, what is that for?
I don't know, I've just got one sheet.
I think that's the
back. In my brief time in this room tonight, I found out that there's one person, two people vying for the same position. I decided to step down, yank my name. And I'm voting for Richard Hall.
You just for it.
That was very magnanimous of you, John. Thank you.
So would we reappoint Richard Hall?
Second. Oh, okay. Motion made and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service. Hey, Clint?
Sir?
Is Steve Langman here?
Steve is a position.
Steve has put his name in for the commissioner's appointment.
Okay.
And will be at tomorrow night's meeting.
All right, thank you.
We had one appointee from the council and one from the commissioner.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Weather up.
Okay. So not you. Close to you. Okay.
There's three chairs for you.
Pardon?
There's three chairs for you.
Yep. All right. This is for... Yeah, we've got Jack Kreitzer for the alcohol board. Jack, you here?
I move we reappoint Jack. He's been on there for decades, I think. So.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Got.
Jack.
I got two of these.
Yeah, that one's.
This is Bob Gustin. Did I say that right?
Yes.
For the library board?
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Were you on that board before?
Yeah, I've been on for about 4 years.
Great.
Currently the secretary of the board.
Okay.
You don't recognize him without his hat and his cat, I think.
There you go.
Yeah. I always see that.
Okay. I'll take a motion.
Make a motion to reappoint.
I'll second.
Motion made second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, this is for the health board. This year we get to do one for the health board. And we've got Ms. Cindy Rose Wolper. Cindy's been on that board for a while, haven't you?
Yes.
Quite well.
And you're an attorney and a nurse.
Correct.
So you have a lot to do.
I try.
Yep.
We have a lot to do.
Yep. Any questions?
Motion to reappoint.
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and we've got for the RDC board, Ross Benson. You hear Ross? Pardon?
I'm guessing nobody called him. He should be here.
Okay. Well, maybe he can come to next month's meeting. We can do it then. Unless we want to just...
There's a second.
No, but I know Bill Kane.
Yeah, there.
Who's Bill Kane?
See, Bill Kane's that gentleman there. Dave
Redding knows Bill Kane as well.
Did you give us a letter, Bill?
No.
Pardon? Okay. Bill's here, but the letter's not.
Okay.
All right. Are we...
push it till next month?
Push those two till next month?
Give people a chance, maybe submit a letter. And tell us who you are, why you're interested.
Yeah. It's a simple letter.
Yeah.
All right.
We can reopen it if others are interested, and yeah.
Okay.
Good, yeah.
And Kevin Patrick, he said he's stepping down from the RDC. Okay. That's all I've got. Is there anybody else here who is going to be appointed to a board that we missed?
Did you say you're going to wait until next month to do the CVC?
CVC, yes. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Jim, you're welcome to stay for the rest of the meeting.
Yeah, we're not going to throw you out.
Yeah, you don't have to.
It's not that I haven't been to many.
Okay. The legal department has showed up in force, and they want to make a presentation. So how about if we go with that? TV?
We're trying. We got two on.
There goes.
Okay. First of all, thanks for having us and being on the agenda. The first thing that was on the agenda was for Colton Magner's pay. I believe we have that figured out. I don't think we have to appropriate money. I think we just talked with the auditor. And I think that's a clerical thing that we can fix without having to be voted on.
Okay.
He's being paid out $21.84. He's a 2080 employee, so we just need to adjust that the way the pay is on that.
Okay.
So I think we have that taken care of.
Appreciate that.
The other thing, myself and my chief deputy, Paul Henderson, and my captain, Brian Schrader, are going to give a PowerPoint presentation. We are asking for your support, your help. I came to you the last meeting, and so you know what this is about. I was asked at that meeting to come up with some numbers to see what it would take to try to remedy this, fix it, and go from there. So we have worked on that pretty diligently. During this presentation, you all have that in front of you. I would ask, because so we can get through it, that if you have questions, write them down on that page so we can maybe go back to them so we can get through this presentation. It's going to take just a little bit. Again, I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your consideration on this. I know it's a very unpopular thing, but it is a very necessary thing that we're asking for.
administrator. And the first slide is kind of to go back a little bit, because some of you, I think all but two council members, probably heard a lot of this same conversation in 2020. We did this all throughout COVID year, and I think I met at virtually every single one of the council meetings in 2020, and you guys did give us a raise in that took effect in 2021, and we were sitting in a really good spot. And then there was several things that happened that changed everything that what we did, because I will tell you, when that happened, when you guys gave when it was a considerable raise to the merit officers, it was something that I thought we would be able to handle for a long time. And then there was several things that came on the back end of COVID, the George Floyd situation that happened in Minnesota, and so what officers were applying to agencies at that time just plummeted into a much worse situation nationally, and we see it here. We have some numbers to kind of show that. And to be clear, the first time that we did this conversation, or really I did this conversation, it was about merit officers. This conversation that we're having this year is not just about merit officers. It's about the jail, dispatch, really the whole staff, because we have some numbers that we can show you that the county is losing money just on investment alone, and in what you guys are investing in us. So up here you kind of see what we're talking about. The average salary over just 2 years. A lot of what you're going to see in this presentation is based on just the last two years. So it would be 22 and 23. The salary nationally rose 10% in 2 years. I didn't put this number up there, but from about 2010, when I first started on the road, until 2018, the salary in those 8 years only rose 3% nationally. So in 2 years, for it to rise 10% is astronomical, and it's everywhere. It's not just here. It's everywhere. And what really made it worse is in July of 23, we actually heard it was coming in about July of 22, but the state police passed their matrix and it went into effect July of 23. And when that happened, they based that matrix off of what IMPD had. When you had the George Floyd situation happen and the riots that happened nationally, what happened was, in all the major cities, Indianapolis being what is closest to us, when the riots happened, there were 30 officers that quit in the week following those riots that happened downtown. Since then, it's just gotten worse. What has happened because of that is all of those major cities have raised their salary matrices. What happened to the state police is that everybody was leaving the state police to go to IMPD because they could make more money than what has happened. So the state police was forced to raise their money across the board, by the way, because it's not just the state police. That's conservation officers are on the same pay metrics, excise police, any capital police, they're all the same. They're all went to the exact same matrix. Because of that, it's just become a snowball effect that every other agency is now modeling after this. It is across the board. So with the point that you have what we would be perceived as a smaller department, now we are the picking ground for everybody. And just essentially what it comes down to is, we'll get into that here in a minute. So you'll see up there that all of our surrounding agencies, I call us the donut hole of where we're at, because all of the surrounding agencies did raise their matrix, with the exception of Jackson County. You'll see that they had two lawsuits that actually attributed to over $7 million that they're paying out. And so they were kind of gridlocked. They were not able to do anything. But now they're trying to figure out what they're going to do because a lot of people left Jackson County Sheriff's Department to go to Seymour, who went to that pay matrix.
Lawsuits over what?
They had jail lawsuits.
Oh, jail lawsuits.
There's two separate lawsuits. And they were pretty nationally covered, but incompetence is what made them have to pay those out.
The one jail death, the $7.1 million on one death, is the largest payout in the state of Indiana to date.
And the other one was undisclosed. They wouldn't get a number.
So in 2020/2021, when you guys gave the salary increases, we closed the gap tremendously to every agency that was close to us. And that was our goal. That was my goal. That was kind of, I think, everybody's collective goal. And then in the last 2 years, we're right back to where we were. So when you guys gave the raise initially, we were making 78% of what the surrounding agencies were getting paid. When you gave the raise, we went to 92% of what those agencies made. Now that the surrounding agencies, and those include a lot of different agencies, Greenwood City, Whiteland, Johnson County, Bartholomew County, Columbus PD, Monroe County, the list goes on. We're now making 81%. That's merits. We make 81% of what those agencies make. The jail makes 82%. The dispatch base salary makes 92%, but the one thing I want to say to that is a lot of those agencies give significant years of service and training incentives. So if you're just talking about base salary, it's 92%. If you include all of that, that it goes way down, and I think the number I looked at was about 86% if you add those things in. And then our dispatch coordinator makes roughly 63% of what surrounding agencies make. And the jail commander was also about, I think he was 62%. Why do those surrounding agencies matter? You'll see we're unique. I've already kind of established that we're kind of the donut hole. One of the other things that happened is officers can... It used to be that you had to live in the county you worked in. And not even state police. The state police would assign you a county that was the county you lived in, you worked in. Because of the attrition rate nationally and officers being able to, just people can't get them, pretty much statewide and a lot of other states joined in to where you can live in another adjoining county and still work for that agency. For instance, if you traveled 46 within the last few months going towards Columbus, the very last house on State Road 46 on the north side of the road, there was a Martinsville City officer that lived there, and he was driving from there all the way to Martinsville City to work. And the conversation was, well, you live here, would you ever entertain coming to work for us? And we don't make enough money. So he is traveling a large percentage of our county every day almost to go work for Martinsville City. So there's stuff like that. There's guys that, for instance, I would not have to move and I can go work for another agency relatively easy and without worry anymore. And housing is just affordable in the other areas. Just some numbers that, is the job the same here as other jurisdictions? Our dispatch answered 21,159 calls. Sometimes that number doesn't seem like a lot, but when you compare it to, I think we have 11 full-time dispatchers, is that right?
Nine
full-time dispatchers, and you divide that 21,159 by... nine, that's actually an astronomical amount, especially if you The thing with dispatch is the state of Indiana actually requires a central dispatch. And Brown County, the central dispatch is Brown County Sheriff's Department. You can go to any of the surrounding agencies, there is only one dispatch. Now, they might dispatch or be assigned to fire on that particular shift or a city department on that particular shift. We have two dispatchers working at any given time. The other agencies have six and up to eight. So they're doing basically the same amount of work for far less pay. In the merit officers, there's two officers on duty per shift at all times in the county. You go to any other surrounding county, the minimum for Bartholomew County is six officers, plus they have eight officers for CPD, plus you add in Hope Police Department. I did the population rate. The population in Bartholomew County is 82,000. I think it's 82,200 people. The population in Brown County is 15,550. The ratio for population to officer is roughly 820. And in Brown County, the population ratio is 755. So our ratio is really not that off. I understand that we are a smaller community, but you have a smaller department. That's where that shows. Yeah, and keep in mind that I didn't add the 2 million visitors that are coming to this community. And I'm certainly not going to say that no other agency around us doesn't have tourism. I think they probably do. But Brown County is known as one of the bigger tourism communities in our state. And that does add call volume to us, a significant call volume. Mm-hmm. To keep that, we are the only agency in this county, in this entire county, that has police presence 24/7, 365. The state police are not here all the time. Conservation is not here all the time. National Police Department is not here all the time. They do not have anybody working every night of the week. It used to be that they did have that, but now we're having to work double. We used to have the lakes officers full-time, and I think a lot of you guys know the issues that happened, that we couldn't legally do that, continue that. So we went from having what little help we did have to having less, so now guys are having to work even more. So those 21,159 calls is way more. I'm here to tell you, I'm up here speaking. You can ask anybody. They're all here. They're getting overworked right now. And I'm not going to say that no other county department is not the same. I understand that. But I don't want to lose these people. I don't. I have on there in big bold, the danger is no different anywhere and the liability is no different anywhere. Essentially, what has come down to nationally, not just here, nationally, when just this last weekend, we get a dispatch. Now I want to take you through this entire call. Dispatch gets a call that a teenager just accidentally shot his teenage sister. Okay, take that call. That call is then dispatched to an officer. The officer's in this room right now that went and tried to hold what was left of that girl together. And the outcome is not good. It doesn't look good. But that call happens in every other county around us. And so when you have dispatchers, jailers, law enforcement looking at money value, I have to deal with that call as a dispatcher. But I can go do that same call in another jurisdiction and get paid more. It's not a matter of can I afford what I can afford right now based on the salary I'm making. A lot of us can. A lot of us appreciate what you did. I'm here to tell you, don't give me my raise. Take it away. But I'm telling you, you're going to lose these people. I'm telling you, that's going to happen. And we just can't, I'll be honest, it scares me to death. Because I don't know that I want to do this job forever. That's another thing. Brad's been here 32 years. You're going to be lucky. Oh, 35, he's ancient. You're going to be lucky to see most of the people in here see 20 years in law enforcement. The average length of law enforcement when I started in 2010 was 8.5 years. It is 2.5 now. Nobody wants to do this job. And in order to have law enforcement, you're going to have to pay it. I'm not begging for you to do anything. I'm asking you to make an educated decision. The big issue too is not only that we can't retain people, we can't even get applications. In 2011, this was a hiring process that I was involved in at the Sheriff's Department. There were 42 applications for a single position. 42. About 35 showed up to actually apply, and it was a very competitive process. That's the way it used to be everywhere you went for a law enforcement job. In 2022, we had a hiring position for two positions at that time. We had 6 applications. 3 did not even pass the background check to even be entertained to come in for a written exam and a physical exam, all of which is required in order to make someone eligible to attend the police academy. So we were down to 3 applicants. We hired 2 applicants out of that process, and then we ended up hiring a 3rd one a little later on. But it actually took 6 months to even get those 6 applications to start with. So we had to delay 6 months to get good applications because you fear putting someone on the road that's not someone you would want on the road. Last year alone, the jail went 5 months without a single application. 5 months. No application at all. And 3 months last year without a single application for the dispatch. All you have to do is get on our Facebook page and look at when we were advertising positions, because they're on there all the time and they're on there forever because we're not getting applications. So I think the people that are up here largely left for financial reasons, give or take other reasons on a couple of them. But these are merit officers that have left and what they made at other agencies. Nick Bryles left. He went to Madison County. At the time when he left, he and his wife had just had a new child. They moved closer to his wife's family. So largely it was not for financial reasons. I think if you asked Nick, I think he'd probably love to be here still. Probably would still be here. But I think he loved his wife a little bit more than us. And so that's why he left. Mike Horn, Scott Bowling both left our department in 22. Yeah. And that is what they made. That is what they are making at Nashville Police Department. They also received 30 days of vacation at the time they started, among a few other things. Chad Williams is making $73,920 at Bartholomew County. He left last year. That is his base salary. He also gets incentive pay, shift differential pay, and instructor pay, and he's actually making over $80,000. Chris Griggs recently left. He's at Lawrence County. His base salary this year, he left last year, he's making $69,000 this year. I think Brad's going to talk to you about the other two situations in a minute. People that have left dispatch, the current salary in dispatch is $40,495. One dispatcher left, again, these are in the last 2 years, all these statistics are in the last 2 years. One left went to Indiana State Police for $47,300, and one left went to Indiana University Dispatch for $44,720. Eight other dispatchers have left the job entirely because for a lot of various reasons, but a lot of it has to do with the stress and the shift of that job. And we're aware that in the last 2 years, three of our current dispatchers have applied elsewhere as well. Kenny Moore was our jail commander. Kenny, so last week was 2 weeks ago. Kenny was making, here $47,075. The current jail officer is making $42,000. I think that's 520, yeah. When he left, just to highlight that, as our jail commander, which I don't know if any of you understand what the jail commander does, but we have continual jail inspections, and if we fail those inspections, this entire county is going to be held up with grant monies and contentions until we pass those inspections. And so you have that, and not to mention just the responsibility of his staff. All of those responsibilities, he's making $47,000. He went to Bartholomew County as the lowest man on the totem pole over there with no responsibility and is making $9,000 more almost with no responsibility. And I can tell you right now that Kenny did not want to leave. Kenny grew up here, his entire life's here, he has a house here, his family's here. But the fact that we can't retain somebody like that is sad. 21 total jail officers have left in the last 2 years. Three retired, 11 left for better pay outside of law enforcement altogether. Five resigned for various reasons, and three left for just really had to do with working night shift or 12-hour shifts, not necessarily the pay.
So what is the value of competence? The ability to do something successfully and efficiently. This kind of goes back to what we're, the big thing that we're trying to do here is keep the people that we have. We have a lot of great people here. And competence in law enforcement caused lives in lawsuits. Jackson County paid a big price on that, and that was completely due to incompetence on their part in the jail. What happened with our department when hiring people who did not meet the standards? One of the officers that was on the screen there, I'm not going to mention names, we hired him, we spent money on uniforms, we paid 4 months of salary. It was when we had the six applicants that went to three. He was the last one that we hired. We had reservations because of his test scores, his physical scores. He did pass, but it was not the standards that we like to see, like the standards like some of our officers have right now that have managed to stay and that we've managed to keep for now. After 3 months of FTO, we extended him, we called him in, told him the situation, that he wasn't cutting it, that gave him all the steps to work on. He signed it, gave him another month of FTO, and we decided that for the better of our department, the better of this community, that it was best to let him go, that he was not going to meet the standards. And I do not want incompetent people out there doing this job. I don't think you do either. When your life or someone else's life that you know is on the line, you want someone answering that 911 call that's competent. You want someone showing up that's competent. If you're a family member or you yourself don't have somebody showing up that's competent, and you know that, you know that if we don't fix this, we are not going to keep competent people here. We've got two officers right now that have applied. They're all sitting here waiting to see what happens. I promise you, this is what this is about. They're sitting here waiting to see what happens. I don't know how many more of that will be if we don't fix something. I'm scared of it. I truly am scared of it. I'm truly scared of what our law enforcement is going to become without keeping these people, being able to recruit competent, quality people. We can't keep everybody. Things happen. Nick Browse left for family reasons. We know life happens. Things happen. But we should not be so underpaid that an officer that wants to really stay here can't, because he has to provide for his family. And he can do the same job in a neighboring county. I want to throw a number out here. What this has cost the county on losing our competent people over the last couple of years. Total loss to Brown County over the last 2 years for turnover rate is $5.5 million plus. That's since 2022. What? 500,000, I'm sorry. 550,000, over half a million. This is unacceptable. The money that we're asking for is not going to be this number, I promise you. We'll have Chief Deputy Henderson explain further on how we came to this number. And again, thank you for bearing with us. I know this is a lot, and
Paul Henderson, Chief Deputy. So I didn't just pull these numbers out of the air. These numbers here are kind of a breakdown. A two-year officer, if we lose a two-year officer, the county is going to pay about $68,000, $69,000. If we have that officer for 5 years and they go to a comparable amount of training, we've got about $94,000, $95,000 from that individual. Eight and a half year officer, you're looking a little over $100,000. If we lose a two-year jail officer, which we've not got a lot of, it's going to cost us about $9,000. You can see there a two-year dispatcher with very few certifications, but the training they need to do the job, when they walk out the door, it's going to cost you about $11,000. On top of salaries, this isn't their salaries. This is just the value we lose in these individuals. Five-year dispatcher is going to be about 14. And you have someone like our dispatch coordinator, she walks out the door to get someone up to speed, it's going to cost the county somewhere around $31,000. And this isn't an investment that we can recoup right away. So I'm going to show you how I got these numbers, right? Because they're big numbers, and you're full of it. So this is an eight-year officer right here. I broke this down. If you go line by line, so the basic academy, whether you're an 8-year officer or a 1-year or a 2-year officer, you're going to go to the academy. We're going to have to put you through the 40-hour pre-basic. And you'll see an hourly rate there along with the number of days. So I figured the hourly rate, just simply what we're paying the officer. Keep in mind that these numbers don't include overtime to cover the shifts that this officer is not working. It's not including it's actually a little higher number. These are very baseline. You can go through all of the classes there. I used existing officers and what we had put them through for trainings. You can see here just the cost in trainings alone, we spend about $10,000. And then when you factor in the hourly rate and feeding them and that kind of stuff, that's where you get the 56. I put in an average cost for uniforms, because if we have someone that leaves, a lot of times we can't use the uniforms. Brian's not going to fit in my uniforms. I'm not going to fit in Zach Shepard's uniforms. Yeah, I'm not sure who does other than Zach. And you see there on the bottom, I put the 24 hours of mandated training. So every year, not just our officers, but our jailers and our dispatchers, they're all going to go through at least 24 hours of mandated training. And we've got to cover their salaries while they're in, plus coverage if we don't have someone available from the neighboring agency that can come over and watch, you know, the county for a day. So that gives you a grand total there. Just for the yearly training for an 8-year officer, you're going to spend about $6,000. So if you add all of that up, and again, this number is low. I didn't adjust the uniform really for any of the years.
because, you know, in 8 years, you're going to rip pants, you're going to need new boots and that kind of stuff. This is, those numbers I just used as basic. The only thing I did add was the ballistic vest change, because those expire regularly, and again, I can't wear Zach's vest. This is a 5-year deputy. Again, you can see they've not been to as many trainings. The number is a little lower. And then just a 2-year deputy. The one thing that I factor in all of them under this 2-year deputy, you'll see in the middle there, it says average time for a new deputy to learn the job. 2 years, 75% efficiency. So in that 2 years, when we send an officer to the academy, and then he comes out here and he works the road, he's got to go through an FTO process, he's got to ride along, he's got to learn the job. In Brown County, he's got to learn the roads, and he's going to learn the community and how things operate. And so for 2 years, we pretty much figure we're not getting our 100%, because it just doesn't calculate, right? So because the FTO, you're going to lose about 4 months with different trainings. So that's where that number came from. Yeah, in the 4 months at the academy, which is up there. But we still have to pay somebody the time that they're either an FTO or working at the academy. Did the same thing with the 2-year jailer. And I feel like this, you look at this number and you think, wow, jailers, they don't cost us as much, but those folks put in a lot of thankless hours. These guys are dealing with the same people that your road officers are dealing with. And that's the training that we have to provide. That's the minimum training right there. Jail school, 80 hours of on-the-job training, and CPR. And good luck, they'll get your county sued. So, you get a good one, you really don't want to lose them, because that $7 million figure can happen real quick if you get somebody that doesn't have the interest in learning the job and doing it right. Dispatchers, again, their job is another one that I feel like we always forget about, because these are the folks that are going to get everybody to you. This is the person that you call, and when they pick up the phone, they've got to get it right when you're screaming, oh my God, you know, I just cut my leg off, and I'm 2 miles back in the woods.
Are any of your dispatchers here? I'm not sure who's...
They are. We have several by dispatchers.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Got thank about you. Four, I think. But yeah, these are the folks that they direct everybody. They direct fire, EMS, and the police to where we need to go. And you can see they get a little more training, but again, that $11,000, I don't know what the price of someone's life is when you get someone that can't do the job, but I feel like it's a lot more than $11,000. I did the same thing with someone just over 2 years. I use this is what we call like our second command dispatch, our assistant dispatch coordinator. This is a minimum of what those people, that person, it's not people, it's one other person, because we have one dispatch coordinator and one assistant, and they're the ones that make sure that all flows smoothly. If they were to leave, again, on top of their salary, so it's going to cost the county $14,000 out the door. And it's going to take you about 2 years to recoup that value if you can recoup it all. Same with dispatch coordinator. You can see the dispatch coordinator gets a lot more trainings, and I won't bore you to death with all those and the numbers. If you have questions, I'll gladly answer any of those numbers and any of those trainings. But that's, you know, that's the bleed that we have in the last 2 years. On the low end, $552,000 is what was lost.
Something to keep in mind, too, when you look at those numbers, you saw the $9,000 number for the jailer. Keep in mind, we lost 21 in 2 years. So 21 times that is how we're going to get to that number here in a minute. But also, look back at the room, at the officers. Most of them are pretty young. And in order to retain, you know, I'm glad they're young. Youth is not always a bad thing. But you also want experience. You also want a knowledgeable department. And if you have young officers over and over, which, no offense to any of our jailers, but our jail is very young. And they when you have young department, and look, a lot of you guys, no offense, you're older than me, But I understand age does come with wisdom. I understand that. Experience comes with that. You guys have lived, and you're more knowledgeable on a lot of different things. And I'm here to tell you, in law enforcement, every one of these merit officers calls me for questions. Because I've been there, I've done that. I've seen a lot of stuff in 15 years. But when you have a department that is young, and you lose that leadership and that the older guys that have that knowledge, I was lucky when I came on. The average age at the department was much older. It's not that way anymore. And you might think, well, is it that way across law enforcement? No, it's not that way. A lot of agencies have kept some of those older people, but there's a lot of the older guys that said, this job is not worth it anymore. I'm going to go be an electrician and make double with this. And more power to them. I tell a lot of these guys, you know, I'm not going to get up here and preach or do anything like that, but sometimes you're called to do this job. Anybody that knows my story will sit here and tell you that I was called to do this job. There's no question about it. Again, I'm here to tell you, don't give Brian Schrader the raise. Mark it down. You can mark it down, Scott. I'm being dead serious.
But to that point, I mean, you know, I'm trying. Can you help me sort out? And I see your next spreadsheet here, kind of is how you distribute. I assume the pay, and it goes across deputies and jailers, and I think your whole staff. I'm just looking at it for the first time. But how much of the problem, you know, is workload? How much is pay? You know, in other words, what is the problem we're trying to solve for? It's kind of rude. Because, you know, like you said, it's not an easy job. We're not alone throughout the state. Everybody's dealing with this right now.
Yes.
How can we, you know, what's the true root? So, you know, we better understand.
Same job next door for $10,000, $15,000 more.
Money. Let me be clear. This is not about we don't make enough money to support ourselves. I do think we do. But when you're valuing what this job is now, I'm sorry, but not everybody likes law enforcement like they did 10 years ago. You know, I like to tell a story. I've talked with Jim. I've talked with several people. A few years back, I had a guy tell me he was going to kill me in the Speedway parking lot. He told me he was going to kill me. 2 days later, he was in my house while my wife was showering. So the matter is, if I have to be a cop, and I can go be a cop over in Bartholomew County and make over $70,000+, I think that sounds a lot better. Because I'm going to do the same job. The badge carries the same weight here as it carries anywhere in this nation. When I wear this badge, and I don't even have to wear the badge. Do you know how many people come up to me when I'm at IGA? Because they know I'm a cop. They know I'm a police officer. Do you know how many people have come up to IGA to tell me that their child had been molested and I was going to be dealing with that the next day? That's what I'm talking about. It's not a matter of we don't make enough money right now. I appreciated, you know, me and Dave Redding, how many hours did we spend the last time? I appreciate everything you guys did the last time. The problem is it's just getting worse. And I think the pay matrix of state police, it took them 8 years to even come up with it. I don't think they're going to rush to change that anytime real soon. I'm hoping that we plateau, and I'm hoping to retain people. It's not just merit officers, though. We have an inmate right now who's spreading feces on the wall. Who do you think cleans that up? The jailers. Now, they can go to Bartholomew County and make $15,000 more to clean feces up. So, and I'm not saying they... All I'm saying is, how do we retain that? We're making an investment. It's no different than buying a car. You're making an investment in that. And then it just leaves. And on top of that, it's a... You know, I love everybody I've worked with over my 15-year career. There's nobody that I have said sayonara as soon as they left the door. But it is a big problem. I'm telling you, it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop right now. But you see the top up there, and Brad's getting ready to tell you. But stop. In order to fix it, we have to stop the bleeding because we're just being eviscerated. And for all the people that are sitting back here that have applications out in other places, they're watching to see what's going to happen. I can tell you, most of the people here don't want to leave. They really don't. I mean, I would not be fighting and putting my name and my face out here if I thought that I couldn't change it. If I couldn't help and fix this situation, I would not be here. So I feel like the last time we were able to fix it, but then everything changed. And it was honestly nothing that anybody could foresee. I mean, if anybody could have predicted what happened and what the afterfall was of George Floyd, and to be closer to us, Breonna Taylor in Louisville, those two situations, it was law enforcement at that particular time was on very shaky ground. And when those two things happened, it took the legs out nationally. And what I fear is because we have a hiring process right now. We don't have an opening, but we're having a hiring process in case one of these guys leave. In the last 2 weeks, we've gotten one application, and we don't have any on the outlook. If we lose more than two people, I don't think you're going to have officers. The jailers is even worse situation. Dispatch is just as bad.
That's the point I was trying to better understand is I think part of, when you talk about burnout, part of it is it's driven by the salary, right, and this turnover. And so you've got, you know, the younger alternating staff, right, so your department's stressed right now. And I think you're not alone, right, across the state, right, as you've mentioned, everybody's doing this. So that's what I was trying to better understand. I think you just, you know...
I think the best way to look at it, if you look at it from a numbers perspective, and just like I said, you know, guys working 30 plus years in law enforcement are over. If you look at it and look at how long an officer has been here, your goal should be to get them to 20. And if you can get them to 20 and keep them for those 20 years, you have accomplished it.
Investment was worth something. Other than the sheriff, you have three officers that have more than 8 years experience.
So... yeah, it's your investment isn't just in what they know. I mean, I'm gonna take me for an example. In a lot of these agencies, a person might have one or two senior roles. I'm in charge of the sex offender program. I'm the lead investigator at our department. I'm a captain, and I oversee portions of the patrol. I oversee our evidence collection. I'm in charge of every major crime that happens in our county. In our county. Because if you think the state police help us, you're sadly mistaken. In every other county around us, they have a multitude of agencies that help. So, you might say, well, those guys can go to Bartholomew County, they can go to Johnson County, they can go to Monroe, wherever. I mean, we can go to Seymour, too. But we're doing the same job. It's the same job. I understand you're talking those agencies, and they have more money. When Bartholomew County has more money than Brown County. I'm not naive to that fact. If you don't fix the problem, I'm telling you, it's going to get worse.
Hi. Concur with everything Brian was saying. It, when we lose people, we are a family. And when we lose people to other agencies, the burnout that, Scott, I think you're trying to get to, it causes so much burnout. We got our training officers that have, for the last, I don't know, 4 years, have been in constant training because we just, our turnover, we've got six guys with us in 2 years on.
I see four new faces here. I assume
so. Six road officers with less than 3 years on. That's I mean, if you're a big department, that's one thing, but when you're a department our size, that's pretty substantial low number there to have that. And they're great guys. And I want to keep them so we can get beyond that 3 years, so we can get to that 5 and 10 years. I want to keep the dispatchers and the jailers that we have, because they're... It's not an easy job. And when they look at their neighbors everywhere around, and they see that, wow, I can go do, as Brian says, the same job. Maybe a little busier, maybe not. They have more people to deal with it. For a lot more money, that's what we're dealing with. I've been elected to this county to provide the services for the jail, to take care of that jail and the inmates there of it. I don't want to be another Jackson County. That's the last thing I want. Don't ever want that. I don't want our officers to cause a lawsuit. I don't want our dispatchers to cause a lawsuit. If one of your family members is dying and you call dispatch and we have somebody that is incompetent up there and they don't get you the services that you need for your family member, and that family member dies, you're going to sue the county and we're going to pay. And as you know, we don't have the money to pay anything right now. We're trying to stop the bleed. I'm asking you to stop the bleed. The pay scales that I give you, the adjustments across the board, are there for across the board. It's a total of $319,324 salary adjustment. I can contribute what we have, about $60,000 towards that. That is from the sale, the sheriff's sales house that's been built up. That won't reoccur. There's about $48,000 in there. I'm willing to give up our transport position, our part-time transport position, because, again, I'm not getting applications to hire. There's $12,000 there. I'm willing to give up those positions to put towards this to try to help. It's a matter of what kind of law enforcement you want here in this county. And what do you want this future of our county to be? Do you want some seasoned veterans? We're always going to have some new people, and that's great. Welcome that. But do you want some seasoned veterans that knows what they're doing? Somebody that is going to be standing up here in 35 years like an old crusty fart like me, going, hey, I lived through it. I stayed. Because you guys did the right thing. Do you want somebody that's competent doing this job? I do. Because my name is on every one of their IDs. Anything that they do comes back to me. I want competency. I want people out there that can do their job. And I want that for my community. I want that for our visitors that come to this community. I want to be able to provide this community with the best law enforcement agency we possibly can. If we can't keep these people, I can't promise that. As a county elected sheriff, I promise to keep this county as safe as I possibly can. I'm asking for your help to do so.
One other thing I wanted to add, when we're talking about being kind of the cherry-picking ground, and we're talking about competency. There's two officers in here. One of the last academy classes finishes in the top of his class academically. The other one is the top of the class using the proficiency of the firearms and academics. Okay? When we are there for their graduation, there's two separate agencies that see those guys, and they come up to us and say, hey, we look forward to when they work for us. Now, they may have been joking at the time, but they were not joking.
It's not a joke.
You have some of the top officers in the state graduating top of their class. That is what we expect at our department. That is why we're washing people out of applications. We don't want someone that is not up to that standard. You know, if you've been around Brown County for a long time, when I started, it was, well, that's the way, that's the good old way, that's the way Brown County. It's not that, I'm here to tell you, it is not that way anymore. It's not. You know, people call all the time asking for some of our guys' services and expertise in areas that they are at. So get that thought out of your head that we're the Podunk Brown County. We're not Podunk Brown County anymore. When you are graduating, guys, in the top of a class of over 150 law enforcement students statewide, that is what you want. You should be proud. Because I can tell you, when I sat there, I was damn proud, excuse my language, I was damn proud to be a Brown County deputy. But you're going to lose it. And I fear that. I'm not trying to instill fear in you by any imagination. I really am not. But come over to our apartment. Ride with them. See who they are. You'll realize quick that we do not want to lose those people. Write it down. Brian Schrader doesn't want one. I'm telling you. Write it down.
Have me on there too.
Appreciate that. We'll open it up for a few comments, 2 minutes each. This whole subject will have to go downstream. We'll probably have a working session where we'll get into it deeper. We'll have you present a discussion in more detail. So with our financial consultant there, you do understand the other part of it is we have to find the money. So that's not necessarily an easy situation.
I totally understand that. And again, thank you for your consideration in this.
Appreciate that.
I mean, I truly do appreciate you guys' consideration, and I hope that we can come to something here.
I think you're finding we're all behind you in all this, but it's just a matter of where do we find the money.
Right. Again, much appreciated.
I would like to say personally thank you all for everything you do. It does not go unnoticed.
Absolutely.
It is very appreciated. And thank you.
Yes?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Sherry?
Thank you, sir. My name is Sherry Mitchell. Brian, do you know what your turnover rate is?
Which department?
We'll start with the sheriff's. I'm sorry?
Jail dispatcher road.
Road.
For how long? In the last 2 years?
Last year.
Last year?
How many officers did you have in each position?
There's 16 total officers.
How many officers did you have in each position? So how many officers did you have in Brad's position? How many officers were in your position?
We've lost 7 officers in the last 2 years.
7 in 2 years?
Yeah.
And there's 16 of you? Thank you. I have one more question or information to provide. Indiana legislators are in session right now, and Senate Bill 129 has been endorsed by 4 Republican senators, and it was adopted out of committee, I don't know, a couple days ago. And what this bill says is that police officer basic training costs will be reimbursed if that officer is hired in another community within 3 years. Which means that would alleviate some of your concerns here. Okay. Thank you.
Is that the cost of the training or the cost of their salary, you know?
Training.
$1,000.
All of those monies will be reimbursed, so however long they were there, it's Senate Bill 129, just so you know.
That is if it passes. I think it was forwarded on to the Ways and Means Committee.
Yes.
Okay. As I mentioned, we're going to have a special session for the council and work through this in detail in the future. All right. Gary, can I step in here for a minute?
I'd like that to be soon.
Yeah, that's
very soon.
Darren, yeah, tonight, okay. Gary, I'm going to propose that personally I'd like to make a motion that we approve their request contingent upon finding the financing. You know, we've got the issues to find the money. And we've got an issue. We can find the money for 2024. The challenge going forward is this situation probably not going to resolve itself. It's going to continue, and it's probably going to continue to get worse for 25, 26, 27, 28. You know, I know of 3 things that off the top of mind that we as a council could do to reduce cost to the county to be able to fund this, not for 24, but for 25. But, you know, so, you know, I guess to me there's a sense of urgency. And I would like for us as a body to make a commitment to the Sheriff's Department that, you know, we immediately begin to get Greg Garitas in here. We immediately take a hard look and see where we could find the financing for 2024. Because keep in mind, 2025 is going to be a train wreck too, right? And so is 26. So it's because this issue, I mean, it's, I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I ran for county council. So I'm going to toss that out to all of you. You know, I look at your calendars. I would like to get some decisions made this evening. And definitely create a sense of urgency on this.
I'm going to have a sense of urgency. I think making a commitment at this point would be a little too early because we don't know what the whole aspect in the picture is for the bigger picture for the county. We have other departments we need to take care of too, and how this all fits into the big picture. Unfortunately, that is reality. So
yeah, but I'm going to push back in that I have done my homework, okay? I know exactly where we are financially as a county. Matter of fact, I took this situation very serious in December because I could read on Brad's tone, Brad was concerned in December. And so that's the reason, Brad, you and I addressed it. And I've spent over 12 hours of my time just in the last 8 days. I spent 8 hours with Brad, Paul, and those guys just this last week.
Have you spent time with the rest of the county to see what they think about this? I've heard some people off the top who may quit immediately. I mean, this is a bigger picture. I'm sorry. I can't control that with just one decision.
Let me get this straight. So what are you telling me?
I mean, telling you,
do you value the sheriff's department?
Totally value them. I value the fact that we have to do due diligence to serve the whole county. What does that look like? I don't know yet. We haven't done the due diligence.
I am proposing that we do, within the next 2 weeks, we do at least one full day working session, 2 full days if we have to, 3 full days if we have to get the entire picture of the entire county. To see everything. We can't chop one arm off, put it on the other arm, and say we healed ourselves. We got to look and see.
Right, yeah, and I'm okay with that.
We have to look at the whole
thing. But I'm also okay, also, Darren, and agree with you completely, that this bar needs to be raised. You know,
that's what I'm saying. And we need to look at
it. We're getting a 911 call coming in from the sheriff's. We're getting the 911 call. And what I don't want to have happen is we close up this meeting and we adjourn, and then we wait around, and before you know it, it's April, and we haven't done anything.
No, we set a date tonight within the next 2 weeks to meet for a working session with Greg Garitas, with everybody, and get Brad in here. We have a conversation, everything that needs to be done within the next 2 weeks.
Right, I think that's more appropriate. That's due diligence. We need to do that and find out the picture in the whole county, how it fits in.
And you bring your numbers with you?
Right.
That's part of our discussion. Like I said, I'll full day. 2 full days. If we need a third full day, I'll do a third day.
All right. So let's set up one day if we need to, with the contingency that we'll go further if we have to.
All right. So you're going to get a hold of Greg Garitas and get with his schedule and see how soon we can get him in here?
Yes.
I mean, because I'm assuming he's on the payroll now, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So what you're committing to this evening is you'll get on the phone with Greg Garitas, get a date hammered out, and try to get a date on the calendar. What is today's date? It's the 16th. So, you know, perhaps...
At the end of the month.
If we... Pardon me?
At the end of the month.
We can't get something set up by the end of next week?
I'm saying by the end of the month, it'll be 14 days. We'll do it as soon as we can. Correct. I don't know his schedule.
Okay.
I'll call him tomorrow.
Perfect.
Okay.
I have a ordinance question or something. You know, we've got turn. I think our county is structured where we can't lateral experienced people in. They have to come in and start at the start line. What is the mechanism that we need to explore to be able to enable the sheriff's office and other offices to hire experienced people and honor their, at least their vacation time?
So, I mean, that is obviously kind of within your purview in terms of setting up their pay scale. It would be in conjunction with the county commissioners. I think it's both of you working together, because you're going to obviously have that within some type of ordinance within the county. So whether it's, you know, giving them credit for their years of service or giving them some credit for whatever PTO they had accumulated at another agency, you know, that's up to you. I think that's probably one of the things that's, you know, on the kind of list of things that you can do to increase pay for not just merit officers, jailers, dispatchers, but potentially every county employee. I mean, it's just an option that you can certainly leverage if you want to try to do that. You have to understand, though, when you do that you're not only probably paying that outgoing person for their PTO time, but you're going to be paying some additional PTO time for an incoming person, and that's going to have to be absorbed within your budget.
I don't know if anybody's got any interest in getting that moving, because we can be poached, and these agencies are able to honor, if you're 5 years or 10 years or whatever, they're not going to Bartholomew County and starting as a same status as a new employee.
There was a jail officer that apparently did start at the bottom of the totem pole.
No, he didn't, actually.
Oh, they
gave him, I know, it was actually incorrect. They actually gave him years of service, and then he gets shift differential pay. That was his base going in of the years of service, and then he got shift differential pay as well. Okay.
But we are not allowed to do the same,
right?
Whether it's the sheriff's office or the health department.
As the child center, their base is actually 51 something.
Steve, I think you're touching on something. I've got a list of 12 things. Like, you know, I think we need to do more than money, right? I think there's a whole package. I mean, just look around at those same counties that are poaching our people. They're competing for our people. They are providing incentives. They are providing housing, you know, down payments and exemptions. They're doing take-home cars and vacation and PTO transfers. And, I mean, I'd like to see us, if we're about to lose an officer that's going to cost us $100,000, authorize, you know, somebody the ability to negotiate, especially if what we're hearing is those people don't want to leave. So they leave, you know, we need to intercede in that process and give them the opportunity to salvage, you know, that kind of person, whoever it may be. And so there's a whole lot of things I think we need to be doing to compete. And that's what we're not doing right now, is competing. And I think that's why we're losing officers. We've got to play the game, which means we need to pay attention to what our neighbors are doing. I don't know if it's all money. I mean, I think we have to compete, whatever that means. We're asking for the same officers to do the same job, and we've got to step up our game.
The only other thing I would add, too, is when you guys are in your work session, I think everybody in this room agrees that county employees, I think Julia's, you know, talk to Brett. Everybody is underpaid. Nobody here is arguing that. Sherry brings up a point that there's legislation at the state. The state knows this. But in years past, what I've seen happen is you guys get to a work session. This hasn't happened with any of you board members that I'm aware of. But in years past, before you guys said it, it was, we don't have enough money. Sorry about you. We're here calling 911 right now. You guys can call 911 yourselves to the people up at the state house. They're going to listen to you guys more than we're, you know, it's one dispatcher among thousands throughout the state. We're here to tell you a problem. The state is not naive to that problem either. But just don't stop at, we don't have enough money.
I don't intend this work session to be that. I intend for this work session to be, where do we have the money? Where do we get the money? What can we do to make this money available?
What I'm also saying, too, is if you figure it out for now, great. like Jim says, we have to figure this out for years down the road. Maybe that's where you're bringing in the state for some financial help to alleviate pain, the auditors and clerk's offices. All I'm saying is this, you can't just stop at what we're bringing in. You're going to have to go to the state to continue to say, we need, you can't leave us small counties out. Because Brown County is one small county amongst a lot in the state that is, I'm not joking when I say this, in the next 5 years they will not have law enforcement unless it's corrected and fixed.
Brian, I appreciate you saying that because for the past 2 weeks these bills have been rolling out. I serve on the Association of Indiana Counties Legislative Committee. We just met, I guess, yesterday or the day before, and we're reviewing that specific bill. Everyone on the call understood the problem. We're all advocating in that same direction. You know, there are other things like that were brought up on that call, like, you know, recouping the costs of training from officers that leave prior to a certain date in the form of a contract, stuff like that, you know. And I really think this is going to be more about buckshot than a silver bullet where we just come in and say, okay, everything's solved. It's not going to happen that way. This is way beyond our local department. It's statewide, it's nationwide. And so I think it's going to be more about buckshot, where we do several smart, very thought-out things that just at least compete. You know, we got to do what we can. We don't have a lot of money. I'm not sure we can do all of that. I mean, other than taking on debt, which I don't think anyone would want to do for an operational thing like that. So we've got to be really creative.
I can tell you, National Police Department, when I started there, had a contract in place, should I leave. There were several officers that left. I fulfilled my contract. There were several people that left, and Nashville could not. The contract didn't hold up in court. It was challenged. It did not hold up. And Nashville essentially was out there lawyer costs and fees and even more money. So it just, I don't know. I don't even know if that's a good answer.
There's another side of that. If you hold somebody contractually to a job, yeah, if they want to go somewhere else, mm-hmm, what kind of employee is that? If you're holding them to that job and they're wanting to leave, what kind of employee have you got there?
That's why I'm opposed to the contract, because you're just going to have people coming in counting down their days.
Yes.
Short timers. It's going to be like, you know, it's going to be like the grunt in military service. I've been in military service. I've seen it. I've seen people just counting down their days.
Yeah.
And it's not. And you do not get good productive people out there.
Yep.
Okay, we'll have a work session. We'll dig into this deeper.
If you'd like
to solve it, believe us.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item. Kevin, I noticed you're here. Did you resolve your issues and want to be on the RDC? I may have missed you on that. Kevin Allen?
You continue to
talk. Keep going. Talk later.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes. Because
you're on the legislative committee. And I'm hopeful that the Indiana Association, like the NBA from Jackson, Seymour, wherever she's
Scottsburg,
is organizing and rallying a groups of county council to come and speak at those legislative sessions. Like I said, I know some of these days have moved on to the Ways and Means Committee, but you have been following them. Is that something that you can reach out to us, let us know so that we can speak, write letters?
Absolutely. I'm also on that county council legislative committee, and so I'm following very closely. Kind of my business also, for many utility reasons, focuses on that. So there are several things that are very interesting to us, and we were able to do some things just in the first couple days of the committee hearing to kind of, there were some small wins there. We're working on more actually with Indian Hill. We don't think, as an example, one of the things I've been following, we don't think the state is going to pay for anything at all after requiring several hundred thousand dollars of additional safety enhancements on the project. So we're trying to resolve that through legislation as we speak. So, we'll definitely keep you, included. The hall bill, I haven't seen if it got a hearing yet. It's a difference, like a pilot fee for the state land. but...
State and federal.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, happy to keep you...
With the Indian Hill issue, is there any kind of unfunded mandate?
That's one of the things we're trying to work on.
Bush on it?
It's apparently now considered a new crossing, and therefore ineligible for all funding. So the 120-year-old crossing is now a new crossing and not eligible for anything, including the additional $400,000 in safety enhancement costs applied by NDOT. So we're trying to work through that.
Unfunded mandate. See if we get something on that to get that.
Yes, that's exactly what we're zeroing in on right now.
Okay. Are you done here? All right, we go to appropriations. Mr. Magnin.
Thank you. If you look at my list, we'll make an easy one. If you go to the bottom of the list, there's one on there for the Salt Creek Trail. We took care of that back in December. Those bills have already been paid. So the last one for the $50,000, that's totally already been taken care of last year. At the top of the list, I don't know how some of these happened, that we ended up with some line items that had zeros in them, and some of them were for some of my existing employees. One of them had been there for over 4 years, so what I'm asking for are the dollar amounts that I had in my original budget proposal. And then at the end of December, the last meeting in December, the Auditor's Office did put those numbers into the salary ordinance, and you guys approved it, so they're already in the salary ordinance. But internally within my budget, we need to put those same dollar amounts from our unappropriated, the funds that I do have, and just put them back into the line items so that we're able to pay payroll. We actually had to run the first payroll in the negative. The Auditor's Office did, because, like I said, these are existing employees, and I'm not going to fire four people because we had an accounting issue. So I don't know how the zeros got there, but I would request that we please put the dollar amounts back into those line items.
I thought we resolved that at our last meeting, and it was already taken care of.
It's in the salary ordinance, but it's not put back into my budget yet because it's a 24 budget, and the auditor suggested I wait until tonight's meeting instead of addressing it in December. So I just need to have the money reappropriated back into my line items.
And that's for the three existing employees that were accidentally...
The three existing have money in there. He has a new mechanic, is that correct?
Right, I do have a new mechanic that...
Which he needs money for.
So the three those were not issues. This fourth new person...
Well, they're still not into my budget yet. In Gateway, they were still zeros in Gateway at the end of the year. So I just need to basically do it like an appropriation and just put the dollars back into the line items where they should have been.
We took care of the salary ordinance.
You did the salary ordinance, but not my budget.
Allocated money to pay them.
Right.
So are you saying these three people, other than the mechanic, are on the payroll already?
They are.
They're all, including the mechanic. And with the mechanic, he's a young gentleman who is the best mechanic that I've ever seen.
We need one of those.
And we're not, and the cheapest shop that I can find that is reliable, their base starting labor rate is $125 an hour. Most of them are $130 to $150.
Yeah, so we've got I'm trying to make sure we understand what you're asking us to do, because I thought we'd already resolved this, and I don't want to any more confusion. Jim, are you following here?
Yeah, no, I've got a question. I need more clarification, if anything. Based on my numbers, you know, the proposed budget that you proposed, we had 21 positions.
No, I have 24. I have a maximum of 19.
Well, I've got 21 based off of what came off of your Form 1 that was sent to the auditor's office. So, and then what we did is we made a decision to cut that back to 13, okay? And what I'm completely confused, is how did we go from 21 originally, and then now we're down to 13, but then on the ordinance that we passed, we refunded these positions that we basically defunded. I'm not quite sure how that happened, because what I just heard was that the salary ordinance that
basically... Salary ordinance did not refund the positions we defunded. They just, we have their employees that he has funded.
Okay. Yeah, so his existing employees are funded.
Yes,
okay.
On the salary ordinance.
For 2024, they're all funded. So the issue here is you've hired additional people? Is it, you've hired one?
One.
Okay, so let's do me a favor, just for clarification, so I want to get clear on this, what we're not talking about. Let's go with the first one. We've got, it's the fund number 10201, coming out of 1135 Bridge, driver labor.
Right.
Okay, is that, do we have that person hired?
No.
Okay, so that one right there, that line item is open currently, correct?
Correct.
Okay, let's go to the second one. The second one is 11613.
That is an existing employee that was already there.
Okay, so yeah, and you've got that one in there. And then the next line item is 11310. That's an existing employee, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and then we drop down the mechanic. That's a new person, 11511?
Yes, from last.
From when was that person hired?
In December.
December, you got a date, 12 something?
No.
All right, so 12/23, that mechanic was hired. And then we've got another existing employee coming out of 11002?
Yes.
Okay. All right, which Julie, you just testified that those were all funded with the salary ordinance, mm-hmm. the existing employees, correct?
But he doesn't have them in his budget, he says.
All right, now we get into this 11210. The assistant supervisor, is that position open or is that position been filled?
It's open.
Okay, so that one's open. All right, and then this 270 or the 270 is a completely different discussion. All right, I'm crisp. I'm up to date. Thank you.
You're welcome. So what I asked for was to fund those six, four of which I have down as existing employees. Three were long-term employees. One was a December hire, which, like I said, it's saving us tons of money. And I would put him up against any shop in southern Indiana, that he is a very good mechanic. He's a true mechanic that we have never had in the 9.5 years that I've been here.
Yeah, but you're not asking for any more money than the 52,669, correct?
No, that's the base starting pay.
Okay.
He's worth twice that.
Okay. Yeah, well, I would be in favor of council is that we fund the existing employees and plus the individual that's been hired, but we leave the other two open positions currently open and we do not fund those.
Yeah,
time being.
I thought we did that last time.
May I say something? I would think, and maybe council can advise, if we've funded it in the salary ordinance, should the money not already been there for 2024?
No, you have to.
If it had been put in the salary ordinance, it was not put in the gateway. So, if you look at gateway, I assume it's not there unless there's something else that was revised that I haven't seen.
Okay. A simple question, Jim. What is your purpose? What is your purpose and the hopeful outcome you have for defunding those other three positions?
That would be a great question outside. I'm not going to address it here in this meeting. I'm just not going to do it. There's other criteria and factors that are involved.
But I will say, and I think Jim's not totally opposed to this, we do need more people. We basically are set up to run 12 snow routes in the wintertime.
Right.
And last Saturday, I ended up in a truck myself. I worked 35 hours straight last weekend in a truck myself part of the time, and I had one guy with COVID and one guy that called in sick that did not answer my emergency call out, and I ended up with 7 drivers on Saturday. We should have had 12.
Yeah, the only thing, Darren, I want to say is just a very broad statement. Is for me personally, our fiscal issues we're having these fiscal issues because we've got organizational development issues that have not been addressed for years. And so until we begin to really take the deep dive and begin to address some of the organizational development issues, it's going to be very difficult to try to come back and rectify some of our fiscal policy issues. So, you know, having more people at the highway department. And Mike and I have had conversations about, you know, doing some proactive, you know, business planning, if you will, to try to address some of these other issues, right? Because it, to me, you know, not to every department is extremely important, right? And they're all, and the challenge with this is everybody's all interdependent, especially the justice system. You know, there's 12 departments within that justice system. But then we've got the highway, so we've got protect and serve and make sure we can get there without falling in a chuck hole, right? And then we've got the administrating building that makes sure that we collect the taxes, do the revenue, everybody gets paid. So, you know, there's some work that needs to be done, and I'm not making the claim that don't want to fund those two open positions, but let's just.
And to back your point up, I have never, in the amount of time that we've been here, we have never filled all 19 positions. So I have, on my own, I have voluntarily not filled some of those positions because we were more efficient without them.
Right.
I don't want people on the payroll who are just sitting around doing nothing.
Right. Right.
I won't do that.
Well, you and I have talked about that.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't want to go into it today.
So. Right, exactly.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's why I need your help to get money back into these positions.
And that's so, fine.
So that they can draw a paycheck.
So,
or otherwise, you guys are going to have to fire four people.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. So I want to fund the people that you hired and current employees. Let's get them funded. Can we agree to leave the two open for now, just for right now, right? And then let's you and I pick up from what we've had in our conversations over the last couple, two, 3 weeks, right?
Right. And I hope as if we get the opportunity, you know, to have good people. You know, if I have somebody that's excellent walk through the door tomorrow, I don't want to be delayed 6 weeks before I can hire them. But so that's where we need to get our groundwork put into place.
We need to get on the same page.
Right, exactly. Right. And I hope the rest of the council
agrees. Right, now we're going mechanic. The mechanic got on before we approved it. We're approving it now, so it's possible, right?
Well, that was already a funded position.
It was a funded approved position.
Michael, I may be oversimplifying here, but I think your request is really in three parts. One is you're asking us to appropriate money from the local road and street and MVH.
Right, our existing funding.
And we don't save any money by not doing that.
Correct, it's dedicated money.
So I think that's one motion. Your last one about the DNR fund to the state, again, that's
done. That's already completed.
Yes.
And then this third is I have three question marks here where you're referencing Coon Bridge and Economic Development Fund, and those are the ones that I think people are getting hung up on. That we need to clarify and discuss that further.
Yeah, the Coon Bridge is dedicated fund for ours. Local road, everything above except for the two lines for economic development.
My statement was that's what people are.
Yeah, everything else is dedicated highway funds. So, whether if it's MVH or local road and street or Coon Bridge, is all dedicated highway money.
So do you agree with us breaking it down into those two buckets?
Yes, that's fine.
All right. So Gary, I'd recommend we do a motion for the funds from the LRS and MVH funds, and get that money appropriated.
Ready for a motion?
Yeah, if you agree.
Yeah. I move that we approve the three existing positions and the newly hired positions to be appropriated into Mike's budget.
I'll second.
Plus the mechanic?
That includes the mechanic.
No, you said three.
Three plus one, right?
Yeah, it's four.
Correct. Three plus one, mechanic.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? I'm just confused because I'm counting five.
Well, there's two. Five. There's two open positions.
Yeah, there's two open positions.
Yeah, we need to fund four right away.
Yeah, we got the four in the middle. We found the top.
I guess you missed my qualification at the beginning. He's asking us to take local road and street money and MVH money. You guys can't spend it on anything else. That's money that he's given by the state for these positions, and he's asking for those LRS and MVH money, and I've also heard that all these positions are in the salary ordinance, to be appropriate. Does that make sense?
I think the problem...
I understand what you're saying, but where I'm going to push back on you is that there are some other factors and criteria that we need to have some discussions on before he continues to hire additional people.
Well, let me push back on you. So you're just going to watch the MVH and LRS money go back to the state? Because if he doesn't spend it on these things, it goes back to the state.
When does it go back to the state?
When the state comes and says...
Is that in this money?
No, those were already in the 23 budget.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. Julia was just asking a slight question. The long-awaited two-and-a-half-year trucks actually were delivered last week, and those came out of the 23 budget. So those are on site.
So Jim's asking a question, when will NDOT, when will the state come back and ask for LRS and MDH funding as we've done spent?
They do not. It stays our money in my undistributed funds. It stays in my budget. The state does not get it back. Once, well, this is funded mostly through gas tax and some excise tax.
Yeah.
So once it's distributed to all of the local communities, counties, cities, and towns, that's our money. I make up a budget to spend that money. If we do not spend it all, it's not like general fund. It does not go back into a pot. It stays in the highway department. So it just becomes unappropriated.
Do you get less then in the next
year? No.
Then just we, point then.
We have a funding, there's a funding formula that was developed by the state legislature.
So that's your point, is you want this money to accumulate?
Just hold it there until we address, Mike and I, we begin to address.
So if you remember 2 years ago, when I got the grant money for the $1 million, we did $1.5 million community crossing, local road and bridge grant project. We also did a local paving program of $3 million. That was money that we had accumulated over a few years into the highway budget, and we pooled all that together and did a $3 million locally funded paving program. That's what we do with the extra money.
We're kind of talking
right.
Two different things, two very important things. So I think the motion, right. It sounds like the motion is right with the
right.
That
was passed. Yeah, we do not lose the money.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Susan, do you have anything to say on this?
No.
Okay.
So do we have a motion and a second for these four funds?
Yeah,
yes.
Voted
yeah.
For.
Oh,
I just was asking for clarification.
Yeah, that's all right.
Okay, yeah, so that's approved, and I'm fine. We'll discuss right. The other projects yeah. Later.
Right. So this one.
My other question was for the other two line items was, in the Economic Development Fund, we have always received money out of that fund, and some of it was taken out to help with health insurance and other things. So I wanted to bring that topic up for something to be reconsidered. If at any time there's any money there, and I don't know what your long-term plans are. Is this a 1 year taking that money, or is that permanent?
Are you talking about
the I don't have any idea.
The economic development.
All I got to say is all the department heads and all of us are going to have to roll our sleeves up and really work together.
And I have no problem with that. The problem with some of these was I wasn't involved in the discussion.
That's fair.
Just taken.
Yeah, and that's a mistake that we make, and I'll apologize for myself for not bringing that up. Right. But what we did is
that kind of hurt.
Right. We cut the 270 to use that 270 in 2024 to fund the $1.8 million for the group medical and the 4700. So.
And I understand that, but I would appreciate being involved in the discussion.
That's fair. That's more than fair.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
In our work session coming up, I would like the information on that to be sent to Mike Magner too, because he might like to be part of that discussion. I mean, it's different funds, different monies, but...
You know. Well, that was the question I was going to ask Mike. I mean, the reason why we cut these open positions is because they hadn't been filled in many, many, many months, right? And you know you're struggling with hiring people. I hate to even ask, but can you talk a little bit about why it's hard to hire people? Well, I assume it has to do with pay and some other things.
It's not as much pay as it is. Okay. By their job description, and there's only a couple of jobs that can be done in the highway department without a CDL. One of them is the front office. Every other position that I have, except the part-time guy that mows, all of our trucks are over the 26,000 GVW, which requires by state law to have a CDL license. If you do not have a CDL license, I cannot put you in a truck, no matter who you are. So we're competing against I-69 construction, I-65 construction, where Milestone's paying $40 an hour. We can't compete with that.
Yeah, and Council, I'd like to throw out just food for thought. You know, in 2023, we had all sorts of conversations about human resources. And one of the main functions in the private sector of human resources is recruiting. And so as I listened to the sheriff's department, I listened to, you know, Mike, I listened to Julie. Julie's got, it appears, we've got a lot of turnover in this county, as we all know. So I'm beginning to ask the question, you know, do we explore
you know, what opportunities exist to where we could, do we have an in-house recruiting person? Do we have outside, you know, is that something that we need to take a look at? Just an open-ended question. I just throw it out there for...
Yes.
Yeah.
Who do we fire to fund that?
Sorry.
Who do we fire to fund that? I mean, that's... Yeah, we're having trouble
finding. Oh, no, I see. It's the chicken and the egg.
We have human resources. Who should?
He's talking about.
He's talking about headhunters.
I know. And headhunters are not inexpensive.
No. And there are private services that may do that.
Our problem right now isn't going out and finding people. It's attracting people and keeping people who do what we need to do and hiring somebody. Hiring somebody to find people that we can't afford to pay is counterproductive.
But it's okay. Also...
Just keep an open mind, though, please.
It's also
don't kill it. Don't kill it before.
No, I'm not killing it.
It's like you find the egg and you step on it, and you don't get a chance to hatch.
I stepped over it.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, you're right. We may circle back and go, that's insane. Right. Okay? And that's okay.
We need to do something.
I want to throw out that it is also nationwide. People are having difficulty finding.
Yeah, I understand all that. Right. I mean, we got work ethic issues. It's the most challenging story problem I've ever had the opportunity to work on. That's all I've got to say. Because it's huge.
Okay, a lot of these issues will be fleshed out in our work session, so they're valid. Okay. Art, are you ready?
Did we get everything?
Sherry won.
Yes, we did forget something.
Real quick question.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and say.
Our council ex officio assignments to other boards.
Oh, that's right.
Make a motion.
Amongst us?
Yeah, I make a motion. We keep those the same.
I think Dave and I, Dave may humor me on a trade. I've got a conflict on that. Extension for foundation board. So that would be the one change.
With that change.
Okay. We agree with it?
Second.
Make a motion. Yeah. Second. All in favor?
Can we do it?
Aye. We just agreed.
Can you kill the one you pointed me on because the board doesn't exist? I'm serious. Put it on there. Put it on a piece of paper. There is no GIS board. There isn't. Well, no, they appointed me the first was January a year ago. Aaron Kemp, you want to be on the GIS board? I go to Tom Reok and he goes, what are you talking about? There's no GIS board.
You want animal control?
No, I don't want anything. I'm good.
All right. Sherry, do you have a question?
Just real quick. These appropriations into Mike's salaries, are these from taxpayer services?
No. Within my existing budget.
I understand it's from your existing budget, but are these the line items that would give us taxpayer services? Paved roads, gravel, those kinds of things.
We brought, what was the guy's name back in February that came in from LTAP?
Mm-hmm.
We can send you his presentation. It shows where all those LRS and MVH monies come from. Whether it's gas tax or whether it's registration fees, that type of thing.
We're asking where the revenue comes from. I'm asking, is this the revenue you use for taxpayer services to put gravel, to shovel our streets, to put paving down? Are these taxpayer services, these funds?
Mike, what happened is we defunded these and just moved that money back into the MVH fund, correct?
I'm not interested in transfers. If this is the money you would use for those services, yes or no?
No, it's not. Because
Dave's
this is
not yes.
Aaron. No, this
Aaron,
is
not. You don't understand her question. She's saying the LRS and MVH and then...
Yes, these are labor positions, so that funds all the work that we did. Yes.
Mike wants to hire snowplow drivers.
But also supplies.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking about supplies right now.
That's my question. Okay.
Thank you. Labor.
It was a different question, Aaron. Sorry.
No, it was a question. What she's asking is are we funding these positions with money that would be used for sand and gravel and paving?
No. Correct.
No. No, we're not, because these positions were funded. We defunded them, and that money goes back into the MVH
fund. What would you have used it for while it was sitting there?
Well, right now, we need it for existing employees.
I understand that. What would you use it for if you didn't need it for that?
Nothing, because the employees wouldn't be able to do anything with it.
On the council board appointments, you said we were keeping the same with Darren and Dave going to switch?
Scott and Dave's going to switch.
Yes, please.
Foundation.
So Dave is the foundation, so that's going to be Scott now. And Dave is going to be the extension board.
Okay.
And we made a motion on that. Who made the motion?
I did.
Darren?
Yeah.
Who seconded that?
Scott.
Great, thank you very much.
Okay, Art?
Gary, hey, just one quick question. Darren, are you aware that the music center is going to pass out $400,000 in December, as I heard? Is that accurate? $200,000 for the foundation, $200,000 for...
No, $267,000 total.
Okay. How much is that coming to the county?
$67,000.
How much?
$67,000 out of that.
And the rest, $200,000, is going to the foundation?
Yes.
And did, you guys don't vote on that, is that, if you looked at the legal aspect of that, I mean, they're making, unelected people are making those decisions and where a county revenue from a county asset is coming from.
We are looking into that. That's all I'll say about that.
That's the revenue source.
Yeah, I know. Can you do me a favor? Would you put that in writing, your question?
Sure.
Take the time to, you know, write it out. And would you email that to all of the council members?
Sure, glad to.
That would be great. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Sandy, I think I need to send that in.
Okay, so now we're going out into the great abyss, people. That should be careful of this one. No, was it? Oh, no. That was the...